And good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder. It's a Sunday morning. It's Easter Sunday morning. And have any of you played hooky or called off in high school? Because, well, Chicago's favorite slacker, Ferris Bueller, did just that. And there's a new book out there, and it's called Ferris Bueller. Hi there. It's called Ferris Bueller, You're My Hero. And we have the author online with us right now, Jason Klom. Hi, Jason.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I think it was like Entertainment Weekly or something, put out something about your new book. And you can pre-order it. We'll tell you listeners how to do it. But we have got to talk Ferris Bueller. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much. It's one of my favorite movies, so I was really pleased to get to write it.
All right. Now, you are from Detroit originally?
I'm from New York originally.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Detroit now, but I spent my college years in Chicago.
All right. So that explains it, because we love that movie here in Chicago. You know that. We're going to talk about some of the locations. But so what is your fascination with the movie other than it was just the time it came out and we all just love this movie?
It was the movie that I would literally stay home to watch. I skipped school to watch it. I almost failed junior high because I watched it too many times. That's not a joke.
Yeah, you know, I worked in I was an office aide in my high school, and I got really good at forging parent signatures. And it would be all of a sudden, oh, Sue has to go. She has a doctor's appointment. And it was very fun to do. But this Ferris Bueller had the best way to spend the day off. For people who haven't seen the movie, what's your problem? Give us a little synopsis of the movie.
Well, Ferris Bueller is, some people describe him as a bit of a slacker, but he takes his best friend out on a fantastic day because his best friend is kind of miserable, just generally. And he goes throughout all of Chicago, an impossible 8-hour trip that gets him to places he wouldn't be able to get to in real life, but that doesn't really matter. And he goes and sees a little bit of everything just to cheer up his best friend, possibly more. It's hard to say if Cameron was having darker thoughts, but he makes him rethink his life and learn to stand up to his crappy dad.
Perfect synopsis. I loved John Hughes. He was great. He did movies that growing up you could completely relate to. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Cameron, who was played by Alan Ruck, who we saw in Succession, and he's been out and about. And Matthew Broderick, of course, played the part of Ferris Bueller. I can't imagine anyone else in that role, but he almost lost out to that role. To whom? Give us the story on that.
The first person to be thrown about, their name was John Cryer. John Cryer was the first name. And what's funny is you can kind of physically, you can see it. And when I interviewed John Cryer for this book, I kind of had a feeling it was going to end up this way. I told him that. And he's like, oh, I thought I was up for Cameron. He had no clue that he was up for Ferris Bueller.
Ducky,
and there were other people
right?
there too. I mean, like Nick Cage. Nick Cage also auditioned. Like so many people that you would not expect.
Nicolas Cage. Auditioned for the part of Ferris?
Can you imagine that?
No.
Because I can't.
No, I can't. I can't imagine that. So what did you learn writing this book that you did not know before?
It would be impossible to enumerate all of the things.
Yeah,
like, it was so much behind the scenes stuff. But I will say, like, I learned a lot of stuff about the car and how they actually pulled it out the window, like the complicated, you know, physics that they had to use to get that thing out the window. I learned a little bit about costuming, a little bit about everybody's approach to the acting, and honestly, so much about the parade, which made me, I've always been jealous of not having been at that parade, but I'm more jealous now that I know how they put it together.
All right. Well, Ferris Bueller lip synced to Danke Schön by Wayne Newton, mm-hmm. did Twist and Shout by the Beatles, of course. It was right near the intersection of Dearborn and Adams. Mm-hmm. And this was an actual St. Patrick's Day parade going on downtown, wasn't it?
It was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Von Steuben Day Parade.
Oh, yes,
the German-American Parade.
Yes.
But it was originally an Italian Appreciation Day Parade in the script. And so they had to switch some things around.
And All right. So the parade went on. I remember. I have to be honest with you, Jason. Jason Klom on the line with us. I have to watch this movie again. It has been so long since I saw this movie. So the parade went on. That was a great sight. Save Ferris Water Tower.
Yeah.
That was where was that?
That was in Northbrook.
Everything was pretty much
painted over. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it was. Yeah, they've since painted it over, and I keep hoping they're going to change their minds and switch it back because I want to go visit.
Have you gone to all the locations that were used in the movie?
No, I wish I had. You know, for the book, I was kind of stuck here in Detroit, and but when I lived there, one of the things I did to comfort myself was to go around to all the different locations that I could find, you know, at the time anyway. And I took pictures of them and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Cameron's house is just gorgeous. Cool. I'm looking at
it. Beautiful.
370 Beach Street in Highland Park.
Yep.
This is Cameron tells his best friend Ferris that his father Morris loves his 61 Ferrari 250 GT California Spider. License plate, go ahead, Jason.
That is Nervous, NRVOUS. Love it so much.
Oh my God, you are so funny. It's his passion. We all know what happened. Talk about some of the great music that was in the movie.
Oh, wow. I mean, I was fortunate to interview a lot of the people who wrote music for this movie. The standout, yes, of course, Oh Yeah is the big one, obviously. People have tried to use it since and make it their own, but you can't. It's a Ferris Bueller song at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't reuse that song. So now finding out that the song in the museum scene is a Smiths cover, just without the vocals in there. It's the first cover of a Smiths song ever recorded. Which is kind of fascinating. And obviously the twist and shout thing, Paul McCartney hated it. He liked the movie, but he didn't like that they put horns over his song.
I love that. I have not, the book has not come out yet. How do people order this book? Because I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot of people in Chicago that are going to want to read this, Jason.
I hope so, and I hope I get to do a book event there and a screening, because we're trying to arrange something like that now, because I miss Chicago, and like, if any town knows how to throw a party, that's the place to throw a book launch party. if you go to comedybooks.net, that's the easiest way. Otherwise, I'm asking them to spell my name, and nobody can. So just go to comedybooks.net. All the stuff is there.
All right. Otherwise, I'll help out. It's Jason Klom, K-L-A-M-M. And the book is called Ferris Bueller, You're My Hero. It's available for pre-order. And, wouldn't it be cool if you could go to the Sears Tower or the Willis Tower Sky Deck and do a little book signing there? Wouldn't that be cool?
I would happily do it. I mean, I would collapse from fear, but I would happily do it because it's Chicago. It's okay.
And you went to Columbia College?
I did.
All right. So you were here. And why the book? I think, when was the anniversary of it? Was it 40 years in 2025?
40 years. June 11th this year will be the anniversary. And the book comes out June 16th. So just in time.
Perfect timing. And why? What made you write this book? I know you love the movie, but there's got to be something more.
No one had written an in-depth book on one single John Hughes movie. A lot of people have tried to write books about John Hughes or tried to write books about all of his movies. Nobody had dug into just one, and if there was going to be one, this had to be it for me.
Can you hold on, and we'll continue talking after our break here? I want to go through some of the locations that were in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Perfect. Hang on the line for a second. It's Jason Klom, author of Ferris Bueller, You're My Hero. It's available to pre-order, and if you have a question or Bueller, if you want to talk about famous quotes or something from the movie, 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder here. We are talking to Jason Klom, and he has written a book called Ferris Bueller, You're My Hero. And can I give you some Ferris Bueller trivia questions to see how well you do? Or am I putting you on the spot?
Both.
I'm not going to take anything away from you if you don't get these right. Do you know the actual day off that Ferris took off?
I will tell you, I go into that real hard in the book because there are a few different like legitimate claimants to that day.
Okay.
Because I mean, there's the day they actually shot the game in September. There's that game in June in '85. That is the game that's playing on the TV, which I think is a legitimate. That's a pretty good argument. But I will say it's actually more likely in April because he said I've got a couple months till graduation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's likely in April. So it's all 3 days. As far as I'm concerned.
Okay, you are a super fan. All right, the infamous Shermer High School. Yeah. Pivotal location in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Breakfast Club, and 16 Candles.
Mm-hmm.
But Ferris Bueller's Day Off actually features an exterior shot of John Hughes' own high school. Obviously, yeah. You know what the high school was.
Mm-hmm. Glenbrook North.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to.
They shot the interiors at, I just forgotten. It just left my brain.
Oh, that's all right. I'll come back to you. The interior was shot somewhere else?
At Maine North.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband grew up in Northbrook. Mm-hmm. And so obviously most of it was filmed in Northbrook, Glenview, Highland Park, all in the north suburbs, correct?
Correct, yeah. Except for the stuff that they ended up obviously having to shoot in L.A. There's a few things they shot in L.A. where you'd be like, what? That's L.A.? You wouldn't have immediately expected that because they cut together well.
All right. If you know this one, and again, I shouldn't even preface this because your book is awesome. I'm sure it is. I'm going to get it. The license plates. I mentioned the mm-hmm. Ferraris, and you got that yep. right away, Nervous, NRVOUS. Mm-hmm. Did you realize that the other license plates in the film are abbreviations for titles of movies by John Hughes?
His dad has MMOM for Mr. Mom. His mom has VCTN for vacation. And then Rooney's is 4FBDO for fourth movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You're incredible. Jason, really, I wanted to stump you. There's also Genie's TBC.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's right. Good call.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. What else do I have? All right. Love Was in the Air for Reals. Matthew Broderick just got engaged just before the movie's release. To whom?
Him and Jennifer Grey.
Okay.
Him and Jennifer Grey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were a couple other love stories on set too. Those are in the book. I'll just tease it with that. There are a few other people who were. I mean, the mom and dad also famously they got engaged and married. But there's one other. There's one other that are two crew people who met on the set and fell in love later.
Oh, I love that. And according to an article I found on the internet, Ben Stein's scene as the teacher, which is so notable, was actually improvised. Do you have any information on that?
I have heard him claim that, and I think that's correct from what John Hughes said. Yeah, I think he just said, hey, why don't you just riff on something political since, you know, the man has a mind like a steel trap. So just riff on something political and obviously got a good reaction in the room.
Cameron had a Red Wings jersey. It actually belonged to a hockey player. Who was it?
That was Gordie Howe.
Man, you're good. I don't think I have any other questions to stump you with. Very good job, Jason Klum. So are you an author by trade? Or are you? I know you're a podcaster as well, correct?
I'm also a podcaster, yeah. This is my second traditionally published book, my eighth book total. So, I mean, by trade, no. I mean, I do all kinds of stuff. I'm a voiceover actor and stuff, but this is what I love to do.
Yeah, this is great and means so much to people here in Chicago and everywhere else. And give us one little tidbit to leave us with.
Ooh, okay. pardon me. It's interesting the number of people who were in the crowd on the parade for the parade shot. A lot of those people ended up being at least relatively famous. Like, for instance, Chris McKay, who ended up directing the Lego Batman movie and Renfield, he was just in the crowd. He was an extra, unpaid extra. So he went up to John Hughes and asked him for advice how to get into the film industry. It worked.
Wow.
Yeah, the other was Jimmy Pardo, who is one of Chicago's greatest comics, probably one of the greatest comics on the planet. He's also in the crowd. You can't see him. He knows it. But he was there that day as well.
I love Jimmy Pardo.
So many extras. He's a friggin' delight.
I love him so much. He's a great guy. And 630 has texted in and said, I was in the crowd for the parade as well. It was such a fun day. Some other people, 309, Wendy John Hughes was in my graduating class, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off was filmed at our high school, Glenbrook North. We know that. Zip code 60062 is Northbrook zip code, also known as Shermerville at the beginning of Breakfast Club. That's from 224. All right, I have a question from 847. Could you please ask this question for me? I had heard once that the car they used to go through the window was not a real car. It was fabricated to look like a real car. True or not true?
That is true. Every car used in the movie, except for those close-ups, are actually all fabricated. But this one was a fiberglass shell on top of a studio-made, like, kind of a really crappy shell, because it was only intended to go out that sugar glass window. So there's not a whole lot in it. And actually, I've got a lot of behind-the-scenes photos from that stuff in my book that shows how there's this kind of garbage Ferrari logo on the front. It doesn't look very good because it wasn't meant to be a close-up car. So, yeah, that's absolutely the case. And somebody supposedly owns it now, and I'm trying to interview them.
Oh, good for you. Boy, you're leaving no stone unturned, Jason. I got to tell you.
And tell that person who was in the crowd, I will interview them too for the next version of the book, happily.
All right, I'll get their number and send it to you. 847 says, Wendy, you're so funny. How are you going to stump him when he literally wrote a book about Ferris Bueller, LOL? All right, well, it was a pleasure talking to you. And what's
Same
the?
Here.
Oh, thank you so much, Jason Klom. And give us the full title of the Ferris Bueller, You're My Hero book.
Okay, it's a mouthful. Ferris Bueller, You're My Hero, the story of the world's most famous day off.
And you're absolutely right with that. Great work. Congratulations. And where do people get it again? Where's the best way?
Comedybooks.net is the easiest way.
Comedybooks.net. You can pre-order it, and it comes out on the 40th anniversary, pretty much, right?
Just about, yeah. Just a couple days after.
Good luck, congrats, and so wonderful to talk to you, Jason. I really appreciate it.
Same here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Ferris Bueller, You're My Hero, and Jason Klom is my hero because he wrote a pretty cool book.